And let's open our Bibles tonight to Isaiah 49. I was in the Reichert's house years ago. I asked them before the service if they're still in the same house. Linda said, yep, same house, same husband. That's a good thing. Isaiah chapter 49, and look please at verse 15. Can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I've graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray you'd help us tonight that we might examine by thy Spirit the walls of our lives. Help us to see what they are and the strength of those walls. And help us, I pray, if necessary, to repair those walls. For these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me give you a little history lesson tonight, one I'm sure many of you are aware of. In the book of Nehemiah, we read a very important and interesting story about how Nehemiah and Ezra were used of God to motivate the people of Jerusalem to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Many years before, the nation had become divided, and 10 nations of the north went to towards Samaria, and there were two nations in the south, and Jerusalem was their headquarters. And the 10 nations of the north were eventually carried away by the Assyrians into captivity. The two nations of the south, about 100 years later, were carried away also into captivity by the Babylonians. And then subsequently the Babylonians were defeated in battle by the Medes and the Persians, and people who were the slaves of these Medes and Persians were, of course, the Jewish people who had been carried away into captivity. And they, under Nehemiah, were given permission to go back to Jerusalem in order to rebuild the walls of that ancient city. And so they went back. And in returning to Jerusalem, they found that the walls had fallen into ruins over the years. They'd fallen into ruins because of neglect of the people. And if you read Nehemiah 8:9, you'll discover that Nehemiah and Ezra stood before the people in a great court, and they asked that the book of the law of Moses be brought out. And it was brought out, and behind a wooden pulpit, Ezra read aloud to all the people, and the people stood, and they listened from early morning to midday and praised the name of the Lord. Now think about that. The word of God was being read. The people stood and listened to the word of God being read from early morning till in the afternoon. They were intent on hearing what God had to say. You see, if they were going to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, it was important for them to rebuild the walls of their own personal spiritual lives. And that's always the case. The walls of our lives get destroyed, and we don't even realize it at times. The spiritual walls fall into decay. You see, these people had been in captivity, and they, many of them were even born into captivity. And they had known spiritual desolation. And now was the first time for them that they saw Jerusalem. The first time for them that they had experienced anything in this city that they'd heard so much about over the years. But when they got there, what a disappointment it must have been for them. The city lay in ruins. The walls were broken down, and the walls were extremely important in those days because a city that did not have walls was a defenseless city. And so it was important for them, before they rebuilt the rest of the city, to rebuild the walls of that city so that they would have be able to defend themselves against enemies. And so it was a very emotional time for these people as Nehemiah and Ezra read from the Word of God. And it would have been on a scroll. And as he unrolled that scroll and read it, the Bible says the people wept for joy. They wept for joy. They were thrilled that they were back in Jerusalem. They were thrilled they could hear the Word of God. They were thrilled that they could begin to rebuild these walls. Now, here in Isaiah 49, 15 and 16, we read about how God said that He has not forgotten the people of Israel and the people of the city of Jerusalem. He said, can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will I not forget thee. God is saying, you know, you're my people. And I want you to know that Israel is still God's people. They may be living in disobedience and so on, the majority of them, but they're still the apple of God's eye. God still has His hand upon the nation of Israel. And you can take the pulse of this old world and the pulse of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ by watching what's going on in Israel. And they're God's people. God says, I have you inscribed on the palm of my hands. Now, quite frankly, I think that the walls of our lives, personal lives, often lay in ruins. And it happens very easily. It ruins because of neglect. The Holy Spirit comes. He continues His work. He convicts our hearts. And He wants a reconstruction to begin on the inside of us. You don't mind if I drink some of this cold water while you're watching me, do you? But God begins working on our hearts. It's one of the reasons coming to church is important. In church, as the Word of God is open to us, the Holy Spirit of God begins to apply the lessons of the Word of God to our hearts, and reconstruction can begin. Now, some people backslide because they miss so much church. The Bible doesn't say that the Lord's Day is just an hour Sunday morning. It's all day long. And we ought to take advantage of going to church as often as we can when the doors are open, to be there to hear the Word of God preached. But there's more to it than that. Most of the time, when we're at church, we don't even try to listen. Our minds are somewhere else. Our minds are on the work we got to do this week, or the kids, or something else, somewhere else, rather than being on the Word of God. I believe when we come to church, we ought to come to church. When the hymns are being sung, we ought to sing the hymns. We ought to be involved. We ought to just be a part of it all. When prayer is being said, we ought to be in the attitude of prayer. And our hearts ought to be in it. And so, how are the walls of our lives tonight? Now, some of you may be living with the walls of your life surrounded by ruin. And how did that happen? Well, it usually begins very slowly. There was a time maybe when there was a little bit of a loose mortar in the wall, or a stone that was a little bit loose. And you knew it was there, and you knew it was a problem, but you just ignored it. And before long, that more mortar became loose. Before long, more stones became a problem that are in the wall. And then a crack appeared in the wall. And excuse me, then it broke in pieces. And before long, there was an actual hole in the wall. And you maybe say, well, that's not bad. It's just one hole, just one little problem. I'll just ignore that. And so we ignore that. And further neglect comes, and weeds begin to grow in the wall. And eventually, an enemy can gain access to our lives because of a neglected wall a lot of churches are like that. Cracks start to come in the wall. And if it's not repaired immediately, another crack comes, and then another crack. And before long, the church isn't anywhere near what it used to be. Doesn't stand where it used to stand. Doesn't have the doctrines of the Word of God that it used to have. Doesn't have the fervency for soul winning that it used to have, or the fervency for prayer. And that sort of thing can happen in churches. And before long, a church can be destroyed. And so we got to make sure that we don't neglect when the wall needs to be repaired. And of course, the same thing is true in our personal lives. We got to be careful not to let little cracks come in and not repair. Now, it's possible to be known as a good Christian, and yet we know that we're not good Christians. It's possible, but you know in your heart of hearts that something's wrong if there's a crack that's come in the mortar. You know that there's something wrong when you no longer get blessed and thrilled by the church services. You know something's wrong. You say things aren't like they used to be. Say, I used to be close to the Lord, but I'm not anymore. I used to get my prayers answered, but I don't get them answered anymore. I used to get excited about souls, but you can't remember the last time you led a soul to Christ. And so you have a name of being a good Christian, but in your heart of hearts, you know that you're not a good Christian. There are many churches that are known as soul-winning churches, but never win souls. They have a message, but they don't really have the results. Now, you as a Christian have to say, well, preacher, I'm kind of like Jerusalem. I know that my walls has been destroyed. I know that my walls have been broken down. I don't really have a strong defense anymore. I watch things on TV I should not watch. I go places I should not go. I read things I should not read. I do things I should not do. I'm not a good Christian. My walls are broken down. Excuse me. That which should protect you, the walls of your life, is in shambles. And what has brought that about? What has caused your walls to be broken down? What is it that can cause your wall to be broken? Well, there are a few things. Number one, selfishness. We start thinking about ourselves rather than thinking about others. I've got a little pin that I got years ago. I was saved in the Salvation Army when I was 14 years old. And they had kind of a little theme of others. General William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, one time in his later years, he was getting very sickly, and they invited him to come to the annual conference, and he didn't think he could come, but finally decided that he would. And he did come to the conference, and they asked him to say a few words. And he got up behind the pulpit, and he just said, others, and sat back down. See, that was on his heart, other people, not to think about himself, but to think about others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I might live like thee. So don't let selfishness creep in. It'll destroy your wall. And then a lack of discipline is another thing. It'll destroy our walls. Discipline is so important in the Christian life. Do you know the word disciple, to be a disciple of Christ, means to be one that is disciplined. Sorry, my throat's drying out. And so a lack of discipline means we used to have a plan, and we were disciplined, we disciplined ourselves, that we would read our Bibles every day. But then we missed a day, and then we missed another day, and another day, and now we only pick up our Bibles between on Sundays to go to church. We were disciplined to go to church every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night. But things started dropping off, a little here and a little there. We were disciplined to hand out tracts to people, but we stopped that. We didn't want people to think we were nuts or crazy or something, so we stopped handing out tracts. We disciplined ourselves to tithe every week, but we stopped. Lack of discipline breaks down the walls. Procrastination will break down the walls. What's procrastination? It means putting things off. God speaks to our hearts and we say, I'm going to take care of that, Lord, someday. But we don't get it taken care of. We let it slide. And procrastination can break down a wall. We see a crack in the wall and we don't fix it. We say, I'll fix it another day. Listen, we ought to take care of things right away. When God shows us something, we ought to deal with it right away. Keep short accounts with God. Don't let things go on and on. Take care of it right away. So procrastination can break down the walls. Immorality is another thing that can break down the walls. Immorality creeps in, and it's so easy to happen in this day. We live in such a sinful day. And people take sexuality very loosely. People flaunt their bodies publicly. It's on TV. It's everywhere. Immorality is all around us. And we as Christians can take it very lightly if we're not careful. And we shouldn't take immorality lightly. We should take it very... Morality is something that's serious with us. The government's new plan to teach our children immorality in the public school system is something I'm strongly opposed to. And I'm glad we've got a Christian school so that our children don't need to sit under the public education system and have unbelievers teach them things that only the parents should be teaching them. And so immorality is something that can cause the cracks to come in our walls and break down our walls. Number five is no time for God can cause that to happen. We live in a busy day, a day in which we say we're too busy to take time to serve God, to read our Bibles, to pray, to go soul winning. And as a result, our walls are broken down. Compromise can and does break down the walls in a hurry. That means we just start a little way, start a little bit here and a little bit there. Compromise a little bit here on the music we'll listen to. Compromise a little bit here on things that we'll do that we didn't used to do. Compromise a little bit there and a little bit of compromise here and there. And before long, we're in a place that we never thought we'd be. And so we've got to watch that compromise. Don't compromise. Stay where you are. And then rebellion, of course. The Bible teaches us that rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Young people, that's one thing is particularly young people have to watch is rebellion. Don't rebel against your parents. Don't rebel against God. Stay true to the things of God. You've only got a little while that you're at home. Be sure you make those months and years good years and precious years where you have a good relationship with your parents. Now, I believe we need to take serious inventory. Let's look over our walls tonight. Let's have the Holy Spirit of God help us check out our walls to see whether or not they're in good repair. Are our walls strong? Are they strong where they'll protect us in the days to come? How do we do that? Well, the three-step process. Number one, a time of evaluation. Evaluation. I sense in our day that there are a number of people in our fundamental circles who are very shallow and very frivolous concerning the things of God. They tend to take God too lightly. It's as though God is their good buddy up in the sky somewhere. They don't take seriously the things of God. They don't take the holiness of God into account the way they should. And as a result, they say things, well, you know, I'm a Christian, but nobody's perfect. I'm a Christian, and I'm not as good as I should be, but I'm just as good as so-and-so. We compare ourselves amongst ourselves. We say, God will understand. We try all sorts of things to say that we're going to get excused from the way we act and the way we talk. Friend, these statements might express your attitude, and the enemy then is already living within your camp. Your walls have become broken down. Your walls are in dangerous condition. So first thing you do is evaluate your wall. What's the condition of my wall tonight, the wall of my life? And then secondly, a reconstruction. One of the things Nehemiah did was he prayed for guidance and correction in order to be able to properly reconstruct the wall? Have we been too busy for prayer? Are we too busy to come to prayer meeting on Wednesday night? Are we too busy to let God have His will in our lives? How about your time with God? Have you taken time with God? Do you know God on a personal, intimate level? You say, well, there's just so much time in the day, preacher. I haven't got time to spend with God. Try getting up a little earlier. Most of us can do with less sleep than what we get. We'd be surprised how little sleep we really need. If we give some time to God, it'll help us to living better Christian lives. So get up earlier, or set aside your lunch hour. You say, well, I can't afford to spend time with God. It is said that Hudson Taylor, that great missionary to China, the sun never rose for 40 years on China, but that God didn't find him on his knees in prayer for that great land. So the same thing ought to be true for us, that reconstruction's necessary in our lives. We've got to spend time with God. Got to spend time on our knees. Reconstruction is never easy work. We went through a couple years ago a building program in Barrie, and we built a whole new auditorium. And you know, the new construction was the easy part. But the other, our older building, we gutted that, renovated that whole thing, something like you've done here. And that's hard work when you've got to tear something down and then get it rebuilt the proper way. But that sometimes needs to happen in our lives. Reconstruction's very hard work. Nobody's ever said it's going to be easy, but it's something that needs to be done. Consistency seems to be very difficult to obtain for many individuals. Many people make resolutions. They're going to be consistent. They're going to be regular in their attendance at church. I'm going to start doing it every Sunday. I'm going to be there, preacher. And then they don't. I don't know how many times I've conducted funeral services, and families' hearts have been touched, and some members of that family who've been away from God will tell me after the funeral service, preacher, I'm going to start being at church every Sunday. And maybe that lasts for one Sunday. Consistency seems to be a hard thing for a lot of people, little by little, bit by bit. The process needs to be set into motion. If you know there are areas in your life that are where your wall is broken down, begin little by little, bit by bit, working at it. Ask God's Holy Spirit to help you and give you strength. Moral decay takes place. And then the next, before you know it, there's a bit of mortar comes loose and a stone drops out of one side. And if you let that stone lay there, then another stone falls and then another. And before long, your wall is broken down. Number three, there needs to be perseverance. It may be that you've come to the point where you're ready to weep over your sin. You might be at the place of confessing your sin and asking for God's help. But if you come to the place where we read in Nehemiah where it says the people were of a mind to work. In other words, they determined that they were going to stick with it. They were going to be consistent. When trouble came, they were just going to stick with it. When other people left, they were just going to stick with it. When other people quit, they were just going to stick with it. They were of a mind to work. And that's what it takes to build a work for God. It takes people that have a mind to work, a mind to stick in there week after week. A.W. Tozer once wrote, every farmer knows the hunger of the wilderness, that hunger which no modern farm machinery, no improved agricultural methods can quite destroy. No matter how well prepared the soil, how well kept the fences, how carefully painted the buildings, let the owner neglect for a while his prized and valued acres, and they will revert again to the winds and be swallowed by the jungle or the wasteland. The bias of nature is toward the wilderness, never toward the fruit fulfilled. And friends, the same thing is true in our personal lives. If we neglect our personal lives, we have a sinful nature, and before long, we just revert to our natural tendencies. And so we got to always be aware of that and work on it. The heart needs to be tended to, and the life with crumbled walls will soon be run over by the world, and chaos will prevail. Don't just repent, but rebuild. Persevere. Never give up. I'm deeply concerned that you do not live without strong walls. As Christians, we've got to have strong walls. We've just got to. And in your heart, if your heart has grown cold toward Christ, if your heart has grown cold toward His church, then deal with that problem now. Don't let it run on. Then expect the Holy Spirit of God to use faith and persistence of someone like Nehemiah to form within your heart a thirst and a willingness for the kind of Christianity that will be blessed of God. So let me ask you, where's your wall tonight? How is it? What condition is it in? Is it strong? Could it withstand the test of time? Is it, or is it in need of repair tonight? If it's in need of repair tonight, then this is the night to start the repair. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. Tonight, ask God to help you. Ask God to cleanse you of all sin. Ask God to strengthen the things that need to be strengthened. And ask God to help you this evening.